Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The leader of Northern Ireland's second largest nationalist party, the SDLP's Colm Eastwood, is widely expected to resign at noon today at a press conference in his native Derry. At 41, Mr. Eastwood, who recently retained his Westminster seat, has led the party since 2015. Well, for more on this, we're joined by Belfast-based reporter Amanda Ferguson and by Professor of Social Policy at Ulster University, Deirdre Heenan. And you're both welcome to the programme. Amanda, I see as we speak the tributes are flowing in from the DUP leader Gavin Robinson, from Fianna Fáil's Jim O'Callaghan and others praising Colm Eastwood. So there's no doubt that this is happening, but do we know why he's standing down?
Well, I think after a decade at the helm, Colm Eastwood has felt it's the right juncture for him to pass the baton to another leader. He was very forthright during the Brexit negotiations. He's led the party in three assembly elections.
Amanda, I'll tell you what, we'll try and improve that line. It's not great. In the meantime, we'll speak to Deirdre, to Professor Deirdre Heenan. You're very welcome again to the programme. So Amanda was explaining to us why this had happened, and really it's because he's there for 10 years. They've had a very difficult time electorally, haven't they? Is there a sense that there's not much more Colm Eastwood can do for the SDLP?
Oh, I don't think this is a surprise. I think Colm was weary. He's been through COVID, Brexit, austerity, and the SDLP are hemorrhaging support at every level. It isn't freefall. The question really is, can it be saved, and does it still have a relevance in Northern Ireland politics? Political parties don't last forever. This party was the architect of the Good Friday Agreement, one of the architects. The irony is, it may well be finished. It is very difficult to see how it can reverse this decline. Colm was articulate, a great communicator, passionate, full of energy, a reforming leader in many ways. He's reformed the party structures. He's made it much more clear in terms of who does what. And they have clear lines in terms of leadership. But what they're not clear about is their policy. And we've had mixed messages from them around social justice issues such as same-sex marriage and abortion. Sometimes they're liberal, sometimes they're not, and they do not have a clear vision. And really, it's not about the salesman or the sales pitch. It's what are you selling? What can you do for me? And how are you still relevant in the political structure in Northern Ireland? They've been cannibalised in the middle, largely by Alliance and, of course, the rise of Sinn Féin. And they've got to say to themselves, well, what is it that we are actually selling here? And how can this decline be reversed?
Well, can a new leader bring clarity to their policy positions, do you think?
Well, I think they'll have to. I suppose on a plus point, we are 3 years away from another election. That is a luxury in Northern Ireland. That gives the new leader time to sit back and say, actually, what is it that we are about here? What are we selling? What are our links to the Labour Party? They launched the New Ireland Commission and it disappeared without a trace. What are they going to do with that? Are they going to revitalise it? Or will it just be let go? What is their relationship with the John and Pat Hume Foundation? Because that is not clear. And that's another issue that really needs to be clarified. So I think the new leader has got to say, yes, the structure's in place. We've got a new constitution. But what is it that we are selling? Mm-hmm. And where do we sit on that political structure? And if it's about social justice, then everything should be about social justice, not mixed messaging. I think that's really what the problem is. Well, part of the problem.
There's a similar issue, isn't there, on the unionist side, a similar dynamic playing out, like the Ulster Unionist Party, the dominant party of unionism during the conflict, that's facing a leadership transition of its own. Do you see a mirror situation happening on both sides?
I do, but the UUP are in a worse position because they need root and branch reform in terms of their structures. So, for example, it was very embarrassing when their leader made it clear that he was leader in name only, that the party could make their own decisions locally and override what the leader wanted. He made it clear that he wanted to go into opposition, but he was overruled by his party. So they actually need, first of all, to sort out the leadership structures And then again, they need to decide what it is that they are selling. What is their USP and what is their relevance? Because they're also in free fall. And they've got to say to themselves, what is it that we could offer people that other parties are not offering? And sometimes it doesn't have to be. We can look at the English political system and the success of some of the smaller parties. It's really about saying, what is our USP? What is our continuing relevance? Or is it really that our product is past its sell-by date and this has nothing to do with leadership? I mean, I think for both leaders, in many ways, these are poison chalices. They're being asked to do a major reversal of fortune, and can they? And have people just grown weary? Their own base is very much in decline. And how do they sort of re-energise that base to say, look, we are now fresh, we have something to offer? And it's not about attacking other parties. It's about what is it that we are selling?
Yes.
What is our vision? What is our energy? Why would you be attracted to us?
Well, who will be able to do that job for the SDLP? Amanda Ferguson is back with us now. And you were telling us there at the beginning that this is very much Colm Eastwood's choice. There's no hint that he was pushed here.
Well, not everybody is a fan of his leadership within the party, but that may become more apparent in the days to come. The SDLP Management Committee are due to meet within the next 24 hours to set out the process for a new leader. It's likely to be either Claire Hannah or Matthew O'Toole. I think at this point it's Claire Hannah's if she wants it, and if not, maybe she'll take it next time. But I think whenever it comes to the discussions about the fortunes of the SDLP and the Ulster Unionists in comparison to Sinn Féin and the DUP, at one point in time, Sinn Féin and the DUP were the smaller interest in politics, so things can and do change. I think that it's just very clear that Colm Eastwood has tried his best over the last near decade in leadership. He had that failed link up with Fianna Fáil. He brought the party into opposition. He was a very good performer in leaders' debates and so on. And he is a real champion for his home city, Derry, which is where I'm on my way to now for that press conference at midday. But I don't think that anyone can say that he hasn't tried to change the fortunes of the SDLP. We're just in a particular divisive part of the world where even though we're a place at peace, it still is a contested place, and that's reflected in how people vote and in the stop-start system of government that we have. It doesn't always provide for the best stability. Sometimes people want to send messages with who they vote for, but we'll hear from the man himself in the next hour. But yes, you're right about the well wishes that have come in from Gavin Robinson saying that Colm Eastwood would continue to be a champion for Foyle and that he would continue to work with him on benefiting everybody in Northern Ireland. So I think it really is, after that Westminster election and with a reduced majority, it was clear to Colm Eastwood that this is the moment that he needs to pass the baton to give someone else a chance to establish themselves ahead of the next course of elections that will take place in the North in the coming years.
And given all that you've said then, can Claire Hannah change the dynamic? I mean, this is something that she's going to have to factor in her deliberations when she's deciding whether she wants to take this on or not.
Yeah, well, Claire Hannah is an extremely popular politician. You know, South Belfast, where she's the MP, is a rainbow constituency. You get people of different backgrounds that that find her appealing, that find her media performance, her articulate viewpoint and the way that she conducts herself to be very appealing. I'm not sure whether it will be enough to turn around the fortunes of the SDLP, because really, you know, the fact that we're in that transition area where parties are forming their views on a united Ireland. Colm Eastwood came up with a New Ireland Commission. Sinn Féin has its People's Assembly. We're starting to hear more from politicians on your side of the border about what the future constitutional position might be. So things are likely to be a bit sketchy for the SDLP in the years ahead. However, that doesn't mean that their fortunes can't change in the coming time. And I think Claire Hannah is obviously a mum of three, a busy constituency MP back and forward to London. I don't know whether she wants it or not. That'll be obvious. She's not answering any messages from me anyway.
Okay.
But Matthew O'Toole is another competent performer. Again, someone who is good on his feet, perhaps not as warm in personality as Claire Hannah, but still someone that will be capable of leading the SDLP.
All right. Well, listen, Amanda, we'll let you carry on your journey and get to that press conference at noon today in Derry. That's Amanda Ferguson there and Deirdre Heaney, who's Professor of Social Policy at Ulster University. Back after this quick break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.